God shows you where you're going. Now you need the knowledge to propel you. You must learn the disciplines of your craft. What do I need to know? I don't have time to waste. I don't have time to fiddle around with frivolous and foolish relationships or whatever you want to call that. I need to learn. And the Bible says in Proverbs 24, 4 and 5, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong. Yes, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. All of this plays into, focusing on every aspect of your purpose. It starts with the knowledge. Number two is serving. You need to serve, or let it be rather, you need to serve in the areas of your purpose. What God shows you, the arena that God shows you that you're going to be elevated in is an arena that you need to learn, and secondly, you need to serve. You need to put yourself in a servant's position, because serving in the arena, thank you, Kayla, serving in the arena that God has called you to, what it does for you is it puts you on record of having made a deposit into somebody else's life. But simultaneously, while you're making a deposit through serving someone else who's already gone to where you're going, you're also learning. You're getting on the job training as you serve. So when you step out on your own, you're not just stepping out. You're stepping out with a knowledge base and an experience. So you need to serve. You need to be serving in whatever arena. You need to serve in the areas of your purpose. Matthew 23, 11 and 12. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. One of the greatest sources of maximized potential is service. Service to mentors who have mastered certain disciplines you aspire to. I sat this week for a few days. I had to travel, so I couldn't finish out the entire week with one of my mentors. A master. And I mean, just sitting there, and it advanced me by leaps and bounds, sitting there and listening to, humbling myself and sitting down and listening to someone who, wow, has been doing it, far longer than I, and has more knowledge in his pinky than I have in my whole head and library, Serving, submitting yourself. Luke 16 and 12 says, and if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's. Thank you, Crystal. Did I say it right? If you've not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? And then, of course, letter A, we said you need knowledge. This is how you begin the process of fulfilling every aspect of your purpose. You need knowledge. You need to serve. You need to be faithful. In other words, be consistently in pursuit of your goal. Dr. Patricia James, I know that one for certain. I love you. And then you need the spirit of excellence. You need to maximize the spirit of, develop the spirit of excellence in whatever you're doing. That's why you can't do a bunch of different things, because you can't do everything excellently. There are one or two or three things that you need to be excellent at. Now, you can be good at a lot of things, but you got to know what your one or two things are that you're going to be excellent at. Nobody's excellent at everything. Thank you, Candace. Even when you think about King Solomon with all of his excellence and his knowledge, he wasn't excellent at relationships. I could have sat Solomon down, though he's the wisest man to live. I could have sat him down and taught him some things about relationships. He made a lot of bad relational choices, because nobody's excellent at everything. Excellence is striving to be my very best in the arena that God has called me to. Now watch this. This leads me to something else. When you know who you are and you're excellent, thank you, Crystal. You know what your one or two or three things are that you're going to be excellent at. Now you know how to build your team around you, because now you need people who are excellent at a lot of the other things that you may be good at or not good at all. And it's when you build a whole team of people who are excellent in what they do. And I know I'm off track, but this is good for leaders who are excellent at what they do. And everybody has the liberty to function in their realm. It's then that you build an organization that is second to none, that makes history. You can't be a micro. Now, I know this is off track, but this is for somebody. You cannot be a micromanaging leader and think that you're going to build a world-class organization. There is no world-class organization that is micromanaged, because to micromanage means that I can only manage what I can handle, and I can only handle so much with my hands. When I stop micromanaging and I learn to master my one or two things, and I surround myself with other people who master the other necessities, now we're building a world-class organization. But you can't have a spirit of intimidation in there. Back to the lesson. Number four, and then I'm done. Qualify yourself for the greater. Now, number one, let's go over it again. And we're talking about developing your greatness. Take the lid off of your potential. That's speaking of opening your heart, taking the limitations off, and saying yes to everything that God has ordained. Number two, we said that you must pray for the revelation of your greatness. Take the lid off. Accept it. Pray for the revelation of your greatness. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you who you are, where you're going, so forth and so on. Number three, focus on the fulfillment of every aspect of your purpose. Focus on your knowledge base. Focus on serving. Focus on faithfulness. Focus on excellence. And then number four, qualify yourself for the greater. How do you qualify yourself for the greater? Maximizing where you presently are. Producing fruit where you presently are qualifies you for the greater. Some of you are so busy comparing yourselves by yourselves, you're looking at everybody else, and you've not produced fruit where you are. Dr. Pat, put the information for SWIM on the screen. I'm getting ready to talk about it in a second, the dates and the website. Qualify yourself for the greater. Matthew 25:21 says, "His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee rule over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Now, how did he know that he was faithful? He knew that he was faithful because when the Lord got back, he had been fruitful. The master concluded that the servant had been faithful because he was fruitful. He had produced fruit. And if you want to qualify yourself for the greater, begin to produce fruit with what you have. Stop whining and master, manage, and multiply what you presently have. And then the master will what? Increase you. I don't know how to say that one. Femininja, I think it is. Thank you. Master, manage, maximize what's present in your hand. And then the Lord will increase you and give you greater. And then you repeat the process. You repeat the process. I want to pray for you. In Paul, thank you so much. I want to pray for you. And I think I'm going to do something a little different for a few minutes tonight. I want to go watch my Astros. You know, I'm a New Orleans Saints fan. I was born and raised here in the city of New Orleans, but I live between New Orleans and Houston. So I'm an Astros fan. I got to go watch my Astros tonight. Hopefully we can win. But I'm going to do something a little different this evening. And I don't know how this is going to work, but I want to take a few minutes. Thank you, Gabbana, I think it is. Thank you. I want to take a few minutes and answer questions, if you all have any, relative to something that we just talked about, or it may be off topic, you know, just try not to ask me a question that you know is going to take, you know, a whole thesis for me to answer, you know. Glad you're praying for us because I'm stuck. In fact, let me pray now. Thank you. Roni, I think it is. Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you for this message. I thank you that you inspired it on my heart to speak it into the lives of your people. Now, Father, I thank you for a spirit of peace and rest to come upon every one of them in the name of Jesus. Everyone that has been struggling and wrestling with frustration or whatever, I thank you for giving them now a spirit of rest. Hallelujah. I thank you for giving them a spirit of rest and peace and contentment as you do your greater work in them. Thank you for opening their eyes, pulling the scales off, allowing them to see who they really are. In the name of Jesus, we denounce all of the lies. We thank you for the revelation of truth regarding who we are in Jesus' name. Now, let me say this. I'm coming to Mobile, Alabama. I forget the dates. It's November. Towards the end of November. And I think Dr. Pat is going to put the dates up, and I'll put it in the description of thing when I'm done. But we're SWIM, Sisters Winning in Ministry. It's SWIM is a ministry for females that are in ministry and need sisterhood and need covering and need a place that they can go and find acceptance and not be judged and not be ridiculed and abused. Well, SWIM is coming to Mobile, Alabama, and we're going to be there on a Friday night, and we're going to be there on a Saturday morning into afternoon, pretty much like a Queenology kind of thing. Registration is just $49. We're going to be at, I think, the Mobile Airport Marriott, I think it is. That's going to be our host hotel. Dr. Patricia James, who's on here with us now, we're going to go to her church on that Friday night and have a worship experience with women that are part of SWIM from all parts of the country. And then that Saturday, we're going to have sessions where I'm going to be teaching and others will be teaching. And it's just going to be a time of empowerment for women in ministry. If you want to be a part of that, go to rcblakes.com and look under live events and tap on SWIM, register, make your hotel reservations and all of that. And we'd love to have you as a part of it. Okay. Now, are there any questions? Somebody asked me a question earlier. Let me see. If a man says you're too good for him, what is he really saying? He's saying that you need to probably move on. He's really saying that you probably need to move on. Because if a man honestly believes that you're too good for him, there's too much work for you to do to help him catch up with his own self-esteem. In most cases, when a man tells you that, it's a lot of, this may offend some of y'all's religious sensibilities, it's a lot of BS. And it's a man trying to, you know, skate around commitment. You know what I'm saying? And usually a man says this to you after you've extended yourself, and now he's trying to back out of the commitment aspect of the relationship. So he says, oh, you're too good for me. And, you know, that's his reason. That's his way of escape and disappearing. And he says, well, you know, you're too good for me. It's a lot of BS. If he really feels like that, it's too much work for you to do. You can't take and build a man's self-esteem for him. If he really believes that, you got to let him go. If you have gotten off track with your goals in God, how do I get back? Oh, Lord, let's see something. I did something wrong. I missed it. I missed the last part of that question and I lost it. If you've gotten off of your... I missed the thing. Okay, let me just answer the part that I think I caught. If you've gotten off of your goals with God, how do you get back on track? It starts with repentance for the things that you've involved yourself in that have interfered. And then it starts with isolation, eliminating all of the people and the stuff from your life and coming into a place of consecration where the Holy Spirit can revive you and restore you and renew you and give you that fresh vision again. And then it starts with just starting over again without any spirit of guilt that the devil would like to bring and heap upon you. God forgives you. You know, you get clarity and you move forward. You know, you get, and all of us do it. We get off track with our goals and we have to get back. You get clarity and you move forward. How to approach mentorship in ministry and not be taken advantage of. Be very prayerful. Be very prayerful. It depends on, and depending on what side of mentorship you're talking about. Are you the mentor or are you the mentee? You know, but in either case, you need to be very prayerful. I don't allow people anymore to get that close to me without praying. I'm not too quick to call people son, daughter anymore. I've done that and I've gotten burned a lot. And then, but on the flip side of that, we have a whole generation of young people. When I say young people, I'm not necessarily talking age, but I'm talking leaders who are drawn to those who, you know, have years and years and decades of experience and call themselves fathers and spiritual mothers or mentors. And these people take advantage of the least. You need to be prayerful about a person that you would surrender or submit yourself to. Because here's the reality. This is one of the ways you can identify a mentor, especially if that mentor is public. You know, if that mentor's on YouTube, if that mentor's on television, radio, books, you can really begin to glean much of what you need from that mentor without having the personal interaction. So a lot of the stuff where you're rushing into people's lives, trying to be personal with people, it's unnecessary risk you're running, because a lot of people who are in high places of authority are not always well adjusted. And a lot of them are narcissists. A lot of leaders are narcissists. Just because they're anointed doesn't mean that they're not narcissists. The anointing is for people. You know, even Lucifer was anointed to sing. That's the devil. So, you know, just because a person is anointed, a lot of these leaders are narcissists and are just looking for people to take advantage of. So you have to be very, very prayerful. You have to know and don't force your way into anybody's life. Don't force your way into anybody's life. Let the Holy Spirit open those doors. The name of the church and everything else is on the website. When you go to live events, you'll see all of the information, the hotel, the name of the church, everything for Mobile, the dates and everything. All of that's there. Okay. Any other questions before I get off of here? What does touch not my anointed mean? Are they talking physically? Well, you know, interesting you would ask that. Yeah, I think it is talking physically, and it is talking about the way you speak of them. But interesting you would ask that question, because I heard a powerful revelation of that about two Sundays ago, actually, when the word says, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. We've taken that text to mean don't touch those in leadership. But when God says, don't touch my anointed, the anointed are all of God's children. That's the usher. That's the parking lot attendant. That's the choir member. That's all of God's children. That's the body. It's like God. And then God says, and do my prophets no harm. In other words, it's like Bishop Traylor put it this way. God tells the leader, don't you touch my anointed. Don't touch my children. And then he tells the body, don't y'all do my leader no harm. So all of God's children are included in that anointed in terms of the anointed, my anointed, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. You know, God's telling all of us, keep your hands to yourself. It's kind of like when my father would leave the house and leave my brother and I there. He'll say, don't put your hands on him, and you don't put your hands on him. And that means don't put your mouth on them, don't put your hands on them, don't do them any harm. How to overcome personal fear and self-doubt and your family's doubts in order to move into the next chapter in your life, even if it comes with risks taking new career paths that don't seem, how do you overcome personal fear and self-doubt? Do it. That's the way I've overcome it. You got to just do it. You got to just do it. You can't just sit around and if, and you can't factor in worrying about how the family going to feel or what these people, you got to just do it. You got to get clear instruction from God and you got to go. And then you, and God will, you know, give you the courage you need, but you got to just do it. You got to just do it. All right, y'all, I think I'm out of here now. I think I'm tired. Thank y'all for hanging out with me this afternoon. How do you distinguish if a dream is from the Lord or not? I don't know. I mean, I'm not big on dreams and interpreting dreams and all that. That's not really my thing. It's not really my thing. So I'd rather not just give you some flimsy answer on that. I think you can go look up Apostle John Eckhart. I'm certain that he probably has YouTube's messages where he's dealing with that. I don't want to just throw know anything out there at you like that. I don't know everything. All right. I love y'all. I want you to have a great one. And listen, if you're anywhere around New Orleans, or Houston, I want you to come visit us at New Home this weekend. How do we focus on the now when a spoken word has been released over me and confirmed several times, but it hasn't manifested itself? I was better off when it was just my own hope. I'm not really understanding that. Why don't you just email me at pastorrcblakes@gmail.com. Thank you. Is it A-R-H? Thank you. Why don't you email me at Pastor R.C. Blakes Jr. so I can really get a full understanding, because I'm not grasping what you're asking me right there. And I don't want to say the wrong thing. All right. I love y'all. Every time I try to stop. How do you operate when you don't trust anyone? You got to get healed. You probably need deliverance from a lot of memories. You probably got a lot of stuff you got to forgive. You may need counseling. You may even need therapy. There's a lot of stuff. There's a root of bitterness, some things that you got to get out of you so that you can be free to love and to trust again. See, you cannot trust again until you're healthy. And you know that you're healthy when you can accept that people are flawed and people will fail us, but it's not the end of us. You know, when people let you down, it's not like, oh, the world has come to an end. That you're not healthy. So, you know, the first step is realizing that you're not in a position to trust anymore. And, or at least not now. And now the second is to get that stuff out of you, understanding that that's not God's best for you. It's not God's best for you. He wants you to be able to trust, of course, intelligently and with a spirit of discernment, but he wants you to be able to trust. And when people do what people do, and that is fail you, he wants you to be able to accept that and keep moving and keep living and keep being a healthy person and not letting that stop you from loving the next person or trusting the next person, you know. All right, y'all, I'm out of here. I love you. I'm gone.
Thank you for listening today. If you would like more information or for other resources, please visit us on the web at rcblakes.com.